everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And welcome. We hope you're having a good morning and everything is going well for you. And before we begin, I'd like to take and point out the letters on the back of the wall, and I mean the front of the wall, and the number on the back for anybody continuing education.
Oh, just be right there.
It's a number 5, and the letter E is your sign up. Also, if you need any assistance during this, I'm a volunteer, and so is Jill in the back of the room. You can just flag us over, and we'll come over and talk to you. Okay. We are so grateful to present TIC, the Talking Information Center Network, who is recording some of their sessions today, including this one. So please know that the voice recording the session and a copy on PowerPoint will be available on the Focus website for Focus Conference Archives. The web address can be found on the black and white business card on your yellow folders. And the web address, I said that. We are grateful to Sharon for sharing her work in this way with us for continuing learning.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Chris. Do you need this? Can everybody hear me? Okay, great. So my name is Sharon Stelzer. I'm a teacher at Perkins School for the Blind. I've been there for a long time, taught all different age levels. I'm a classroom teacher. I currently work with teenage boys. How lucky am I? All boys in my room. So I have a huge love of literacy and thinking about literacy. So I'm hoping that we can share some ideas at the end, so there'll be question and answers. I brought a little bit of bag of tricks. I tried to see other teachers and what they had in their rooms. So I have some samples up here, not a ton, because I couldn't carry everything. So there's some things that you guys can look at the end. I'll leave time for you to do that. You're welcome to take pictures of anything that you would like to do. So let's get started and think about literacy. And we'll put that hat on in our focus today. So I always start off when I'm thinking about literacy, what is the new definition? And now this definition's been around for a long time now. This is 1997. So it's not just when I was a child. It's not just reading and writing anymore. It's speaking, listening, thinking about reading, and as a writer. But now automatically your mind should be shifting and you're thinking about our students or the consumers that we work with, that how are they going to access literacy because they're not typical learners, right? So we're thinking, you should be thinking about that. And most of you probably are doing some things already with literacy. And this is just some ideas to incorporate some more. So we're really thinking about this process as developing from birth. So think about when the baby's born and mom or dad are reading little goodnight stories or singing little songs, or they're able to watch mom and dad as a toddler, you know, maybe read the newspaper or read something on your e-reader. I mean, you know, reading's changed and it's evolved over the years. So think about all those concepts. And now we have to think about the people that we work with, how we're going to get them to see that experience in any way that they can access it, and then to have access to reading materials in a way that how they, their communication styles. So we really want to build those meaningful contexts. So go ahead, Marguerite. So by understanding how and why we read and write, I think that's the basis of everything. So we're going to, because I'm a teacher, I can't just sit up here and lecture. So I have to have a little bit of interaction going. So I want to think about why do we read and write? And how can we incorporate reading and writing into the everyday life of individuals that we work with? So now my turn is over. It is your turn. So let's brainstorm. And I love this. I get to write. All right, so let's think about some ways that we read and write. I'm going to use that one over there. Nobody knows why you read or write. Okay, go ahead, Ellen.
I think reading, I think you do to know what's going on.
Okay, so for knowledge. Information, okay. Share. What else? For pleasure. What else?
Communicate your needs and wants.
Communicate needs and wants. And I'm just repeating this, so for the audio part, communicate needs and wants. What else? Okay, go ahead. Expand imagination, and then I'll... Okay.
Write as a memory strategy.
Excellent. Write as a memory strategy. What else? Anything else?
Write your feelings down.
Write your feelings. Absolutely. So that's all that we only have about... seven ways to read and write. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if it goes along with one of those, but to better process information.
Great, better process information. For creativity, sure. So thinking about that better process information, how many people here are auditory learners? Raise your hand if you're an auditory learner. One person, maybe half, one and a half. All right, so together two, all together, they've got two halves, are auditory learners. How many people here are tactile learners? We have about four or five. How many people here are visual learners? All right, so right there, that's how we're going to process our information. So now think about our students and their learning styles, because that's going to play in how we're going to have literacy be accessible for them. Anything else? All righty. I'm just going to put up one other area that's for me, that's a big hole, and maybe as we go through the presentation, we'll think of some others that I forgot or that we forgot. Does anybody do... banking online, does anybody still write checks? Does anybody ever, how do you find out how to get somewhere? Do you read a map or GPS? Right? But how did you get into your GPS? Did you just do it through voice? Did you type in the address? So those are some other areas that I've been thinking about. So banking and money management. Maps, GPS.
And apply for programs like Social Security or medical insurance. Or, apply for...
Right, absolutely. Social Security, jobs, resumes, those kinds of things. All right, so that's a pretty good start to our list, and hopefully we'll be able to talk more about that. So it really is woven in through our lives. Think about your apartment number or you have house numbers, you live on a street. That's all literacy. So it's really our jobs to incorporate that into the lives of our students and consumers. So the first thing I think about is how do we adapt materials and how are we going to do that? So we have to pick something that we're going to modify, right? So I did this little magazine. I just picked it. It's a Sports Illustrated magazine for kids. And I just picked it and I said I'm going to adapt a few different pages. And as we go through how we adapt books, but this isn't really about adapting books. There's a session later this afternoon that someone's doing it on totally on adapting books. So that would be really part two of what I'm doing here. So you have to remember to keep in the interest of the reader. So who here would be interested in sports? Raise your hand if you're interested in sports. Just a few. All right, so if I made you read this magazine, you'd be like, I don't think so. So right away, you want to start for success. So we're keeping in mind what are students like. And I'm coming from a school-based program, but this can be applied to rehab. It can be applied to day programs. It can be applied to group homes. All of these strategies can be applied to any group. And we're going to start to build our library of adapted books. So when we think about adapting, we have to modify text. We have to modify pictures. And then maybe modifications to the book itself. All right, Margaret, go ahead and talk about that more in depth. So when we're thinking about modifying text, maybe we need to have it in Braille. What kind of Braille? Contracted? Uncontracted? How many words? What are we doing? Single words? Simple sentences? So you really have to think about the text. If you look at this magazine, and I'm just going to open to this page, and it says three to watch. There's three small areas on here. The print is really small. If I don't have my glasses on, first of all, I can't even read it at all. I can barely read it with my glasses. It's so small. I have to put it a little bit closer. So think about that. How can we make the print accessible? Maybe the context of this is too much for some of our students. It's too complex. We have to think about contrast. So this is a tan background with black writing, which is, the contrast is pretty good, but there was another page here. It's black with a, like a light pinkish print. I'm not sure if all of our students could read that. We're going to think about, again, simplifying the context, and we might support the print with picture or tactile symbols. So I'm going to just show you an example of some of that and how I adapted that for the print. So here's this one. His name is Minka Fitzpatrick, and he plays college football. He plays for Alabama Crimson Tide. But I just wrote, I had a Braille sentence, and I just wrote in a larger print, Minka plays college football. Pretty simple. So that is an example of adapting the text. Okay. Here's a picture of... This was a book from Reading A to Z. It was for young children, and they said that the hair was a color, and a teacher wanted to adapt the book to a student who was totally blind. So she, instead of saying, my hair is brown, the teacher adapted it and said, my hair is thin. So it would be a tactile feature that the student could understand and have experience with, because she doesn't have experience with color. And then it had some tactile markers on the picture for this particular student. So we can modify the text. I'm not spending a long time on how to do this, because there's another session that you're really going to get all the nitty-gritty about adapting books. So modifications to the picture. We can simplify the background. So if we look here at Mr. Minka, it is, the whole background is blurry. There's large pictures. There's a guy on the ground, and then there's the two guys that they're tackling each other, and they're head-to-head with their helmets. That is really visually complex for lots of our students. So think about simplifying the background. We're going to think about our students who have CDI and how we can make this accessible to them as well. So again, cutting down on complexity, highlighting maybe whatever level they're at, and there's another session on CVI where you can learn more about some of the features of CVI, and Ellen, you're doing that, right? Yes?
I was just wondering, what is CVI?
CVI is cortical visual impairment. And there's a whole session if you want to learn more about that. Sorry about that. Cortical visual impairment, for those of you who don't know. Maybe you want to highlight the main idea of the picture. So maybe instead of all this background, maybe what I could do is I could just cut out Mr. Minka, where he's right here. He's the guy on the left side, and get rid of all the rest of that. Or maybe I'll download a whole different picture where you could just see his face, and then you would really know who he is, because that's the sentence that I wrote, that he plays college football. And then you could provide tactile enhancements to the pictures. You could outline it. You could put any kind of tactile marker on that. Go ahead, Marguerite. So So, oh, I want to show you, actually, I did modify one of the pictures. So here is the picture. It was three men, and they're all, the man on the middle is on the opposing team, and he has the ball. And then there's a point guard on one side, and I don't know what the other position is on the other, and they're trying to block him. So what I did was I scanned this in, then I cut out all the background, and I put it on a white background so that it really modifying the picture. And I put black construction paper and cut out all the rest, and I modified the text, and I said, three men play basketball. I also did, to modify the book, so if you, magazines have very thin pages, right? And if you have any kind of tactile or fine motor difficulties in turning pages, you could do lots of different things. You could cut the magazine up, and you could put it on like Braille paper so it's a little bit thicker. It's called a page fluffer, and I honestly did not make up that term. I know it sounds like it's a made-up term, right? But I did not make that up. It is like a page fluffer. So I put a little piece of foam in the right-hand corner, and you can just feel it right here, so that when you turn the pages, it's a little bit thicker, and you can grab the page. So I'll pass that around so you all can experience a little page fluffer. I'll start it here, and then you guys can pass it around. You can modify the book. You can put books on PowerPoint. You can put books on switches, so if they have a repeating line, you can do, I think CDs are kind of out, but you can put it on an e-reader, you can put it on an iPad, you can scan things in. There's all different ways that you can modify books, so you can have an electronic book. You can use touch screens as well. So when you scan a book, it brings the book alive. I've done a lot of books on PowerPoint, and then I've added some voiceover and put Mayor Johnson pictures. So it's a Mayor Johnson Boardmaker pictures are a commercially available pictures that I've added in, so it helps me modify the text. There's templates you can get on the internet to do it. You can include animation. I have a great animated book. It's called Elmo's Balls, and it's all done with CVI. A friend of mine did it, and she scanned the book, she cut out the Elmo, and it's animated, and so she says the line, and then the ball or Elmo moves afterwards. So it's all adapted for one of her students she taught preschool who had CVI. You can do quizzes, you can do find something in a picture and simplify the picture, you can do supporting activities and answering questions online. You can think about, for modifying the books, turning pages, and that's all important. When you're assessing how our students read, think about how they orient the book. Do they hold it upside down? Do they hold it so they flip it? So you really, there's all kinds of skills that you can use and all kinds of symbols that you can use. No, it's okay.
Who is going to help me do all this?
Who is going to help you all do this? So what is your role? What do you do? You're a social worker. Okay, so do you work in adult services? Do you work in a school?
I work at Rentham Hillman.
So you work at Rentham. So do you have a teacher of the visually impaired that you work with?
Yes.
So teachers of the visually impaired are great resources, and they could help you do that.
They would know how to do
that. They probably would know how to do some of that, right? Am I right?
Yep.
My TVI's here, right?
Yep.
If you worked with her, you could help her. There might be somebody else on your team who's more computer savvy than you. All right, so anybody else who knows a little bit about computers could help her out, right? So that's her question. So that's where you're going to have to check your resources. You can see, also check about family members, think about who else knows something about computers. Go ahead. That's a good question, though, because you're right. You can make your own books. I have a ton of books here that I make. I love making books with students. It's really a great joint activity. It's language building, and you find out their interests. I had a student, we made a tactile book, and we were making it about her birthday, and I had my idea what we should write in the pages, and she's going, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot to write that you blew out your candle on your birthday cake. And so she wanted to include that in her page. So there's all different kinds of things that you can think about for doing that. And here's one of the books one of the teachers did. You can create books about concepts. You can do social stories, experience stories, and we're going to talk, I'll have some experience stories in the next slide, and I'll show you a couple. But you can include actions, emotions, colors, shape, size, spatial relations, going to work, coming home from work, relaxation. There's so many things you can make books about. And so just to prove that little point, there is no topic that is sacred. Morning cereal. So I got these notebooks. This is from APH. This came in from Millie Smith. And they actually sent you nice big notebooks. And I'm always scrounging around the office. Oh, you're getting rid of that big old binder that you don't need anymore? Because it's a great one for students. So it has a tactile and a print label on it. So it's called Kimmy's Morning Cereal. And here's her symbol for her snack, and that was her morning symbol, her morning cereal. So it has a tactile label. It's very well loved, and I really had to tape it together to bring it here. So we made it with some of her objects, and we wrote it together. And some of the pieces are a little bit gone now, but so we wrote the book together. We used partial objects because she is low vision, but not a braille reader. She's hard of hearing, so she could hear the story, and she loves her stories to be read over and over and over again to her. So that's an example of making your own books about a concept. And then, of course, being the teacher, I made little cards for extension activities to go with it. So there's a card here where you had to get the water. It's the actual one of the measuring cups that we used. I don't throw away anything. Here's the package when we did it with a little bit of the oatmeal glued on it. So what I had her do is I had her sequence. Well, tell me what did you do first? And she had all the cards to go with it so that she could do that. I could work on vocabulary with her and use these as vocabulary cards. The microwave was the hardest one to do because I can't take a piece of the microwave and stick it on here. So we agreed to take a little cap, and I put this little cap with a little bit of aluminum foil on it, and I stuck it on the microwave so it would match, so that she would have it. So we made up a symbol for that. Have a piece of her apron. It has everything that she needed there. And then I could assess her skills. We can write experience stories together. So I had a teacher who they were doing scrapbooking. And she has several students who are totally blind in her room. She has some who are using Mayor Johnson and some who are using print. And they made a scrapbook of the seasons. They read a story about the seasons from the unique learning systems. And then they made their own book. And they're adding more things every day. I said, I have to borrow this. So it says, the weather in spring is warm, rainy, and cloudy. And then the students help generate the vocabulary. So again, it's in Braille. It has print. And then it has large 3x3 Mayor Johnson pictures. And then they talked about clothing they would wear with Braille labels so that everybody could do that. And there's some tactile, there's a page that has tactile materials about the weather and some flowers. This student has pretty skilled tactile learner, and she's doing Braille as well, but they added a little bit of everything to that. So again, writing books together. This is a throw-to book that we did one day. Perkins never closes, even on a snow day. So we have teachers took pictures of the kids outside sledding on the snow day, and they put it in pictures of the kids, and then they have Mayor Johnson pictures to support it below, saying what they did on that day. So writing it. So so any opportunity, if you do an activity, how many people here do stuff? You do things. You do activities. If your hand is not up, you just sit there all day long like a blob? Everybody's hand should have been up, right? Everybody does stuff. So those are all opportunities to create literacy-rich materials to go with it. So I love this. I was walking around school, and the guys in one of the classrooms, they're older. They're in their probably like 17 to 20. And they are making a vertical garden using those pallets that you get through, you can get them at Home Depot. If you go by any of those places, people are always trying to get rid of those pallets. So what they did was they built their own standing garden. So what did they have to do first? They said they had to find an old pallet. Now the students in this classroom, who were participating in this could read print, and the teacher said they are adding some Braille for this because they were a little bit higher level. Two, you hammer down the loose nails. Sounds reasonable, right? You sand the wood, and they have pictures to go with that. Then you stain the wood and seal the wood, and then they added, they did it this way. They left to right, and then they went around that way. So think about that for reading. I probably would have went left to right, but to each their own, and think about what they do. Then they paint, they stained it. They lined it with, which you couldn't see in the picture, but it has the print that goes underneath it. They lined it with plastic. They added the plants, and then they brought it outside. Cool project, right? And a cool way to document what they did by taking pictures. You could also put objects with that. You could break off a little piece of the wood. You could put a nail for the objects, the sandpaper. You could have the paintbrush. So there's lots of ways that you can add that and think about the levels of the people that you are working with. So that's about, in a nutshell, sort of about modifying books and some thinking about books. But really the crux, I think, and it's this is what I wanted to say was, oh, I guess I didn't put it, it's probably the next slide, that I think the expanded core is really the gateway for literacy for most of our students. So for the expanded core curriculum, most of you probably know what that is. It's the body of knowledge and skills that are needed by students who are visually impaired and have additional disabilities, that they the skills that they need due to their unique disabilities or abilities, I'd like to say, and it is in addition to the core academic curriculum. And that's the definition here from the American Foundation. I have a picture of a recipe from one of our jobs that our students do. It's canine catering. They make dog cookies. That's a fancy word for making dog cookies. It is a viable business. They sell their product, and the dogs love them. I have two who really love them, so we'll talk more about that. So thinking about the expanded core curriculum, it has, these are the areas, and we'll talk more about each area. Assistive technology, career education, compensatory skills, independent living skills, orientation and mobility, recreation and leisure, self-determination, sensory efficiency, and social interaction skills. Loads of opportunities for literacy. And I picked a few to talk about. So, thinking about assistive technology, it is everywhere we go. I think every kid in my class has an iPad, and it's trying to think about how the best way to use it is other than to Google stuff that distracts them from what I want. But Googling, when you Google, is that a word now? Googling? I think it's a word now. Googling is also a literacy activity because you have to be able to punch in something, or you have to be able to look at your history and either look at the picture or listen to the voice output to know what is being said. So that in itself is a literacy activity. It's probably not the best one, but it is a literacy activity. So we're thinking about adaptive tools. We're thinking about switches, mobile devices. We're thinking about low tech. Please don't forget low tech. This is sort of my low tech. Love it. Computers, iPads, note takers, all of those kinds of things. So here's just a picture of, I have two students who use Touch Chat, and it has symbol sticks pictures on it, and this is a symbol, this is a keyboard that it has 15 pictures, it's 3x5. You can make it more complex, you can make it simpler. So this is one of the ways that students can access technology. Thinking about career education. Because I teach boys who are 14 to 17, I'm sort of living in that vocational, pre-vocational, let's get ready to get up and go to adulthood world. So I'm always thinking about that. Thinking about job sequence, thinking about resumes, resume books, banking. How do you have lunch with your friends? All of those things, career education with the social piece. I'm thinking about how we can do that. I have lots of examples of that up here, and we will see some pictures next. So here's one of like the jobs I was describing before. They do it on Wednesday mornings, and in the kitchen downstairs, we have a teaching kitchen, and they have an object recipe, we have a picture recipe, we have a print recipe, and the print recipe also has Braille over it, so that it has all of those pieces. So whatever your mode is, have I got a recipe for you? So it doesn't matter what kind you want, and if you were more of an auditory person, we could put it on a switch, and you could have it on a switch as well. So it really depends on the students. So they have it all set up, so the students make the dough, they roll out the dough, they cut the dough, then into little different shapes, they put it in the dryer, somebody goes down and collects it when it's dry, then they bring it upstairs into our VOC department, and they weigh and package the dog cookies, and then they sell it later. So for $4 a bag, you could have a 10-ounce bag of yummy, delicious dog cookies. So look at all the opportunities for literacy there. Here's the blown-up pictures of the Mayor Johnson picture recipe, and she has it on a ring here. It's on a little flip stand, actually, in the kitchen, so the students can follow this. Really easy, so that you could look at the pictures. It has the exposure to print. All opportunities for literacy. Thinking about compensatory skills and your communication modes, and what skills do you need to access the core curriculum and the EEC. So think about the communication mode. Are the people that you work with, do they communicate with things, objects? They use objects. Are they communicating through speech? They might be. Are they communicating through sign language? Are they communicating through voice output, like what we saw before, like TouchChat or DynaVox or one of those? Are they communicating through gestures? You know, are they communicating through print? How do they communicate? So that's going to be your basis for your literacy, whatever their communication style is. So you're not going to say, well, I'm just going to make this picture recipe because it's easy, and then they'll just get it. If you have a student who's on an object level, they need objects. So you have to make your literacy objects related. If they're using tactile graphics, you want to do that. You might want to expose them to the next higher level. You will have to think about their vision, think about their hearing, and you want to think about their cognitive abilities. So you're not going to have a novel for somebody who is not ready for a novel. If they're a young thinker and they need simple sentences, you're going to have shorter literacy exposure. You're going to have shorter sentences, maybe single words. So really think about how they think. So here's some communication modes. This is just in one of our residents. This is on the bathroom door. So it's the regular Perkins sign that comes on all in this residence. It says bathroom in capital letters. It has bathroom written in Braille. There is tile, which is an object, and it says bathroom, and it also has Braille on it. And then there's a Mayor Johnson picture of bathroom. So for lots of different kinds of communication styles and lots of different learners. The picture on the right is on one of the students' lockers where she hangs up her things. She's totally blind. She uses pipe cleaners, and they just happen to put it in the shape of her name, and it has the Braille. She's also a Braille reader, so she knows where to hang up her stuff because all the lockers feel the same. So they have to have a way that she would know how to do that. So that's a tactile marker. Independent living skills. This is our bread and butter right here. How many people woke up this morning and got dressed? Thank you all for doing that. You're using your daily living skills, right? You had to decide what to wear. You had to think about the weather. You maybe didn't want to put on a turtleneck because it's going to be hot today, maybe in the 70s. So you had to think about, am I going to wear long sleeves or short sleeves? What am I going to wear? You might have taken a shower. I hope most of you brushed your teeth. All of those daily living skills. Who made their bed this morning? This is not to judge you. It is just talking about household chores and thinking about that. If you took a shower, did you throw your towel and leave it on the floor, or did you hang it up? All right, most people hung it up, right? And it's okay, again, not to judge. Those are all household tasks that you have to do. Think about the people that we work with. Sometimes they don't know where to hang it up. They can't see it. Maybe the hook is too thin, or they can't put it over the rails because they can't reach it. It's too high. It's too low. So think about all those household tasks and daily routines. So how many people do the same thing in the morning, every morning when you wake up? You have your own little routine. All right, who wants to share their little morning routine with me? Okay, go ahead, Mary.
I usually wake up around 4 a.m., put on the coffee, turn on
the coffee.
Here,
I'm going to have this you can hear.
I usually wake up around 4 a.m., put on the coffee pot, wait for the coffee to brew, sit down, watch a little bit of the news, and fall asleep probably for another hour, and then have another cup of coffee before I start really getting going for my day.
Excellent. Great morning routine, right? Perfect.
Not really angry,
but it works for you? Did you get here on time?
No, but if there was
traffic. Okay. All right, that's another story. Traffic is allowable, but she wakes up early so she knows that she can have an hour to sort of fall back and relax and have her coffee and then get her second cup in. Think about your money management and how you have to do that. So, and how that's changed. Before, we were teaching our kids to write checks. Nobody's going to write a check anymore. They're going to use their debit card, right? Most of our students and the consumers that we work with are using alternate forms of that. And how do we help them do that and think about their balance? So I have some examples of that. So these are both, one's in the residence, one's in classroom-based. So thinking about chores. So this teacher the picture on the left is just a list, it's horizontal, of classroom chores that they have, and she has all Mayor Johnson pictures around of things that they could do. So they can clean the table, they can do classroom laundry because we have a swimming pool, so you can, you know, wash the bathing suits, you can do paper recycling. We're very big on recycling at Perkins. It is a great job. We can pick up supplies that we would need. Maybe we need more Kleenex. Maybe we need something for the classroom. We can do mixed recycling, which would be cans and bottles and things that we're using within the room. And they might go and check the classroom mail. They have a mailbox that they use. It's large print. There is a Braille overlay. And then on the right, there's pictures of all the kids that are Velcro, so they can change the jobs. So you don't always get stuck with the bad job. I don't know what the bad job is here, but I'm sure one of them they think is a bad job. I would think that the mail would be fun because you get to go and you get out of the classroom for a little bit. So for me, that would be a fun job, and I would want that. In the residence, I went to the residence and I asked. I said, you know, what do you have for lists? And the head of the we call them cottages, our residents, she brings out this book, and it is every chore that you could ever want to do and how to do it. So, Marguerite, go to the next page, and I just picked the first one in there. So cleaning the tables. She has this. The students in her cottage all have vision. They're a little bit higher thinking. So I never knew that there were so many steps to cleaning a table and how many times you had to do it. So the first thing, you had to walk to the laundry room, and you had to get the cleaning bucket. And these are all pictures. Then you had to walk into the dining room. You had to take off the napkin holder, the salt and pepper, off all the tables. And then you had to get the spray bottle, and you had to squirt each table. There were like 12 steps to cleaning the table. And how many, and they had to, so they were teaching him in an organized way. But what great way to incorporate literacy. Chores, breaking all those things down, things that we naturally do as teachers, task analysis. That's what this is, but it's student-oriented. instead of you just holding the little list and going, this, they can do it themselves. And so speaking of themselves, so here's the checklist on the left. What do you need when you have to go in the bathroom? So you need your shampoo, you need the soap, you need the toothpaste, and you need your lotion. And this is on a wipe-off board, so the student can just check off, okay, well, I have my shampoo, I can check that off. You know, so you're not going to the bathroom and you're like, oh, I forgot all my stuff. You can grab all your things, and it's a way to incorporate literacy into something that you do every single day. When I was in the residence, they had, because their students have some vision, they use lots of Mayor Johnson pictures, they had literacy everywhere. So this one says, please remember to put away your toiletries. So when you have all your stuff, you don't leave it in the bathroom, because somebody else has to use that, and who wants to move around your stuff? So I thought that was really nice. It's just there. It's available. So it's examples for students to see literacy in the environment. All right, now, so this looks like I just took a picture of tile, right? Believe me, it is not just a picture of tile. There is a clear overlay, and it's brailled. It is for a student who is totally blind. Around the corner on the other side is the print version, so the staff know what number he's on, and it's a list. So it's a shower sequence for this particular student. So he remembers to wash his hair, to wash all the body parts, to dry, and it's, does it need to have high contrast? Absolutely not. He's totally blind. He can read that, and it's right there in the shower, so you don't always have to be saying, what's next? Okay, get your soap, do that. You're using a literacy tool to help him be more independent. Do we have any people here who are orientation and mobility specialists? Yay. O&M is a great way to think about incorporating literacy. So students learn about themselves, transportation, how to move around their environment. I do have a couple of things here. So this is one of the things that one of the our O&M specialists gave me. It's walking to class. They had a job where they were going to mail a letter. In our business office, you can buy stamps, which is kind of handy if you have if you need one. So you have to walk to the Howe Building, which is our main building. The second thing that you had to do, so it says, I will go to the Howe Building first. I'll go to the business office. I will hand a communication card. You guys use those, right? A lot for communication cards if you have students who are nonverbal or who are their speech is hard to understand, or maybe they're deaf and not everyone signs. So we use that a lot. So they have a communication card. The communication card says, I need one stamp, please, and they can hand over a little card that matches this. So they can get their stamp. Then they're going to put their stamp on their letter. They're going to mail the letter, and then they go back to the classroom. So here is a whole little literacy routine, all built in. You can do all kinds of things in O&M. You do maps, reading street signs. You're working on all those pre-literacy skills, left and right. All those orientation skills are also literacy skills. Thinking about that, because you need to use all of those kinds of things. So we're thinking about your environment. So close your eyes for a minute. Think about where you work and the people that you work with. And what does your environment look like? Are there rooms? Do you see opportunities for literacy? Are there signs hanging there? Is it just a blank wall? Are the signs only in print? Do you need to adapt it some way? Think about how you can change what's available. You can open your eyes. Did everybody have some kind of exposure to literacy in your environment, right? Are there more opportunities to change some things? So think about how the people you work with, what their communication mode is. Is it just visual? Do you need to add tactile? Do you need to add some braille or sign language? What's in your environment? Are you like my teacher friend who used her bulletin board and she just put up a little experience story? Could you put up things about books, vocabulary, We have a student who really loves languages and learning about foreign countries. And so I can't wait every time, every 2 weeks, the bulletin board changes. And so he's always learning about different countries. We have a lot of international teachers, and he wants to hear something. You speak something in your language. He's doing research on other countries. And it's not complex. It's pretty simple. And, you know, here's the kinds of food, and he can put up a label about that. He can write all those kinds of things. So think about thematic units that you're using. And this isn't a young adult. This young man will be graduating this year, and they're taking his interest and incorporating that into it. Putting your favorite books out, having adaptive books available. Organize your room. Is your room labeled? Is their bedroom labeled? How do they know that the socks go in the second drawer and the pants go in the bottom drawer, or the pants get hung up in the closet? How do you know that? Could you do it? Is your environment, the materials accessible? If you work with young children, you don't want all your things at eye level. You want them at their eye level, down low, right? So think about height and distance. Think about name symbols like we saw on that young woman's, her locker, so that she knows where her things are. And I have some pictures of things in the environment. So there's into this classroom, there's two doors, and they keep this other door closed for sound. So the teacher just labeled it. So she could have written a sign on a little piece of paper, just said, please close the door. But she did it so the students could have it to be accessible. Here's a word wall that another teacher did, and this was just some of the things that they had for the letter S. So this was obviously for younger children. Again, here's our garden thing. We can just, the bulletin board explore. I just love that. I thought this was really cool because this caught my eye. So it is this big head that has these Velcroed eyes, paper eyes, and these Velcroed ears, which are on backwards. And then these two big fingers and a shirt, and it has pants. And they did a brainstorming activity with the students. And these students could reprint, and it says, what makes a mature friend? And then the students, they were brainstorming, and the teacher typed it up, and then they were putting all the things. So you want to pay attention and make eye contact, and then listen and be active. So think about that. Labeling dressers. Cupboards. This is a great resource. I don't know, because I teach students who are deafblind. This is on the National Deafblind website, and it's an all children can read literacy checklist. And I just found it really great that it had so you had either emerging, foundational skills, and it gave you activities that you could do. So here's the first one. Do you use behavior as communication? Yes, no, sometimes, I don't know. So I found this really helpful, and it was really helpful to use with parents so that they could see where their child is, because the mom wanted her particular student to be starting to read books, and he wasn't ready. He was at the very beginning level. And so you could be at the building a foundation level, and you could think about that. So there's three sections. I think their website is on, did I put it on the next page? Marguerite, can you see? I'll put it up on here in a minute, and I'll write it up on here. So think about literacy and the positive literacy outcomes so that you can discover books are fun. So going back to our list, why we read, somebody said for pleasure. That we want to foster a desire to read, so we want to make literacy accessible. We want to have symbols that our students can understand. We want them to understand that stories come from print, and the more exposure, and that's for all of our students, the more time building concepts and building experiences, the richer it can be. That book language is different from conversational language. Turn the page, title, author, think about that. So when I write our books, we always say who the author is, and it was Kimmy and I were the authors of this book, and I always put the author down when I'm writing a book with a student. You can develop new vocabulary, and you can learn how to orient the books. So Kimmy had to learn that this book didn't open this way, it open that way so she could access that. So think about your action plan, and then I'll take questions. What am I currently doing? What can I change? What can I add to what I'm doing? And what are my next steps? And make a step-by-step plan. And then how can I share and implement what I've learned here and share and new ideas? So that's a great question for you. I'm sorry, what's your first name?
Deborah.
That's a great question for you. What can you take and start small so it's not overwhelming? And then and think about what your next steps are going to be. So questions, I think that's is that next. So, oh, and remember, everybody is possibly literate, right? Questions, I'll take questions. If anybody has any questions. And then, Marguerite, if you, I think I put up the website. I think it's on the first page. So it's right here. All children can read nationaldeafblind.org, and I have the exact library and the page number for that if you need it. But if you just go to their website and hit literacy, they give you a whole list of things that you can look up. So, oh, sure. I don't think I put it. And I'll put up my email right over here. Thank you very much for coming. Enjoy the rest of the conference.